الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أم كنتم شهداء إذ حضر يعقوب الموت إذ قال لبنيه ما تعبدون من بعدي قالوا نعبد إلهك وإله آبائك إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق إلها واحدا ونحن له مسلمون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. Allah Ta'ala has created insan with many needs. But this insan, any intelligent human being, understands his priorities. A person naturally has attachment to all his possessions also. He has attachment to his family as well. But if it becomes a situation where he has to either save his wealth, his possessions, or save his family, no intelligent person will give priority to his wealth over his family. Allah forbid that a person has got his whole life savings cashed up and he brought it home and that house caught fire. And it's going to be now a choice either saving his wife and children in that home and bringing them out or going to save that wealth. So no intelligent person, no sane person will say, well, try to save the wealth first. Doesn't matter if the children get burnt. No person thinks like that. So every person knows that that wealth, that's material. Allah Ta'ala gave it. If it went away, Allah Ta'ala will replace it, inshallah. But if that life is gone, that's gone. So likewise, a person's own life, he will give priority to that over his material things. So we all understand this, every human being understands it. Even an atheist also thinks in this way, that he will give preference to his family, his children, over his belongings. But a mu'min doesn't stop at this point. A mu'min goes beyond this. That while his possessions are also beloved to him, Allah Ta'ala has put that love in his heart. And more than that is his family and children, his life. But for a mu'min, above everything else is the iman, his own iman, the iman of his own family and children. That is above everything else. He can make sacrifices of material things. And if it becomes a situation where even sacrifice of life might be necessary, he'll even present his life. But he won't put his iman on the line. That is the most precious possession he has, his greatest asset. Nothing can come in the way of compromising that iman. So with this as a reality, that every mu'min would think like this, let us examine in the Quran Sharif this message which Allah Ta'ala gives us in the life of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. To what extent they put this importance of iman above everything else. And the concern for the iman of their progeny. We all have concern for many things, for our children, concerned about their physical well-being, concerned about giving them the best comforts and luxuries, and then concerned about giving them the best education. But have you also considered that all this, whatever we want to do for them, must not come in the way of their iman? So in any case, do you understand this in the light of the ayat of the Quran Sharif and the incidents of the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? One ayat of the Quran Sharif which Allah Ta'ala speaks about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the incident which we hear often at the time of Qurbani. Ibrahim alayhi salam was ordered to leave his wife and child in a barren place and then to leave them there and move on. So we know the details of the incident. When he now leaves them there and he's about to now go away from there, he comes out of sight and then he turns to Allah Ta'ala in dua.
ربنا انی اسکنت من ذریتی بواد غیر ذی زرع عند بیتک المحرم.
He starts off by saying, Ya Allah, I have left my wife and child in this barren place near the sacred house where the Kaaba Sharif was going to be built again, which was already, the foundations were there from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, I left them here. Why? What I'm most concerned about, Rabbana liyuqimu salah. Ibrahim alayhi salam is leaving his wife and child in a place where outwardly there's no means of survival. And he's making dua to Allah Ta'ala for them. But at the top of the list and his first concern and prior concern, Rabbana liyuqimu salah. Ya Allah, so that they may establish salah in their lives. Now he was a father after all, he was a husband, and he had more compassion and love for his wife and child than any of us can imagine. But most important in his heart and mind was their salah. Because the most important thing was the security of their iman. And the security of their iman lies among many things, among the most important things, the security of salah. To the extent that salah will be established in the life of a person, to that extent, inshallah, that will become a protection for his iman. So, Ya Allah, the salah, liyuqimu salah. And to the extent that that salah is established in their lives, it will become a means of their physical security also. The security of their dunya also. But the most important thing was the security of their iman, which lies in securing their salah. Liyuqimu salah. After having made dua for their salah, then they are insan, they are going to be here alone in this isolated, deserted place, isolated from everybody. They are going to feel uneasy, they are going to feel uncomfortable. So now he wanted that they should have some company. فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Ya Allah, you make the hearts of people inclined towards them. This will become a means of some company for them, a means of security for them. So he was concerned about their physical security as well. But not as the top priority. The top priority was their imani security. After their imani security, yes, their insan, their physical security as well. Ya Allah, you make the hearts of people inclined towards them. And Allah Ta'ala accepted this dua. Shortly people passed by, they wanted water, they came, they found water here. They decided, rather we stay over here. This became the means of people now settling there, and this became the company and the security for the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So, فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Then they are living in dunya, so they have needs. Ya Allah, you provide their needs also. وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Ya Allah, you grant them the thamarat, literally translated fruit. But the fruit refers to all their needs. And in fact, it refers to primarily the needs of akhirat, the needs of deen, and also the needs of dunya. So again, he's presenting needs, but with that, وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. All their needs for the safety of their iman and for their dunya also. And then finishes off, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. Ya Allah, all this I'm making dua, Ya Allah, so that they may become grateful to you. And what is the crux of this gratitude? That a person becomes a loyal servant of Allah Ta'ala. So starting off on the salah, Ya Allah, I left them in this place, I'm worried, I'm concerned, but more concerned of their iman. Ya Allah, their iman will remain secure as long as their salah is secure. And then their worldly dunya needs also. And Ya Allah, they must become truly loyal to you. Starting off and finishing off on the concern of their iman. And the concern of loyalty to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this is, we understand from this ayat of the Quran Sharif, the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The prior concern for the progeny also is their imani security. Above everything else. More than their dunya security is their imani security. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala mentions the incident of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. He is now on his deathbed. A person on his deathbed, he's got his last moments of life in dunya, and in his last moments of life, what will go through his mind? What will go through his mind is what is closest to his heart. Depending on what is closest to his heart, that is what will come. If the dunya is closest to his heart, then that is what will come. One person was in his last moments and he couldn't even open his eyes. And so now he called out the name of his eldest son. So that's eldest son, to give the father now that consolation, I'm here. He quickly answered, he said, Abba, I'm right here. So then he took the name of the second son And that son also said, I'm right here. And then the third son, the fourth son also. So when he took each one's name, and each one said, no, I'm right here, don't you worry. So when the fourth son also said, I'm right here, don't you worry. So he immediately said, now in his last moments of life, he said, but who's looking after the shop then? Everybody is here, who's looking after the shop? Now he was ticking away, life was ticking away, but that was closest to him. So at that time, what the reality, what's in the heart comes out. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, in his last moments of life, he gathers his children around him. And what is the question? This is a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, among the very great Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And his children, the progeny of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Not one, several Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. This progeny, who was such a wonderful group of people, who Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam had given the best tarbiyat and upbringing. And now he's leaving dunya. And he's concerned. His children are around him. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Now he's addressing his children around him. And what he's asking them? مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Who are you going to worship after me? I'm going. I'm not going to be dunya anymore. So while I was here, I was trying to guide you, trying to direct you, helping you, supporting you in your iman, in your deen. I'm going on. I'm worried about after I leave, who are you going to worship? So they gave him that consolation and comfort. قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَٰهَكَ وَإِلَٰهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِلَٰهُ وَاحِدًا. You're going to worship that same one Allah. That Allah is your Allah, the Allah of your forefathers, and that same Allah, only one Allah, there's no other Allah. This was the concern in that last moments of life. The person is now, his moments are ticking away. This was his greatest concern in life. This is what came at the end of life also. And this kind of progeny, but worried about how they're going to live their life, is their iman going to be secure? Their imani security. We're all concerned about financial security, and this security and that security, everything in its place within limits. But above everything else, imani security. Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah, very great scholar of the recent past, he once, while giving a talk on this ayat of the Quran Sharif, he expressed this, that this is not just a mention of what Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam asked. The Quran Sharif doesn't just give something as a historical fact and that's it. No, this is a message. It's a message to every mu'min that this should be the mold of a mu'min's heart and mind. That he's forever concerned about مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Concerned about his own iman and concerned about the iman of his children. And everything he does will be directed by this mold. What he does, what he does not do. What he holds back from. What he agrees to, what he disagrees with. Everything will be directed by this mold. And especially for his children, while he's alive, and as he's leaving this dunya, this will be his greatest concern. مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. It's not just a matter of just some aqidah and belief. It's the complete protection of that iman, and the living of one's life according to Allah Ta'ala's commands, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That concern. Now this is that concern. And he says further, I was asked to write for a poster one line, only one line on that poster, which would be a message to every Muslim of the world, I'll put this line, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. So in any case, this is a concern of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the greatest of the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and they gave the best tarbiyat and upbringing to their children and progeny, and now they're leaving dunya also, they're leaving with the same concern, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. That was in that era, they had distilled so much of concern. What about the time we are living in? The time we are living in, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam foretold, سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. That a time will come, a person in the morning will be with iman, before the end of the day he's lost his iman. أَوْ يُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. At the evening he had iman, before the morning he lost it. يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَدٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. He will sell his deen for some material, in whichever form it might be. It might be some actual material wealth. It might be the so-called promise of material wealth.
So therefore, whatever education he wants to go for, whatever he wants to do, as which will so-called secure that dunya of his, does not matter what it will do to his deen and iman, he'll sell his deen for it. The Rasulullah foretold this. Now we are living in that kind of zamana and era, where this onslaught of iman is happening in every way, from every direction. And it's happening right from the time that that child is still not even yet fully understanding, but the onslaught on his iman is already happening. Among the things that are most becoming most destructive and are most destructive in some ways, one of it is the educational system. This is now like norm. As the child grows up, forget when he starts growing up, the child is barely born, 1-2 years, they're already worried about now which school he's going to go to next year. He's 2 years old, he already starts to start some kind of schooling next year. And it's just probably a matter of time that by the time the child is born, they're going to be ordering textbooks also. Together with the nappies, some order for textbooks will go. The way everything is just going backwards, it was 6-7 years old and became 5-3 years. Now 3 years old, the child must be going to school. And just now it will be ordering textbooks with nappies. So already this is the concern every person has, children, where he's going to send them, what education they're going to have. But what is really going on in this education system? Have we sat to think about it? So there are two things which are of extreme concern. One is in this educational system currently, what's going on is well known to everyone. The so-called CSE, Comprehensive Sexuality Education, is not just a matter of some pictures in some books. That is bad enough. It's not just confined to that. That, well, it's some matter of some pictures in a book, so we'll probably maybe tell the child mustn't look at those pictures. It's far beyond that. That is bad enough. It's a matter of remolding the child's mind. It's a matter of putting a completely different mindset. There are so many things involved in there, but just to understand it in the light of one issue, that from the time the child is going to be going through this curriculum, his mind is going to be molded towards many things, among them, that what's the problem, or there's nothing wrong in a male marrying a male, a female marrying a female, and dare you think that there's anything wrong in this, then you will be homophobic. You will be regarded as a person who's homophobic. You are becoming an outcast in society. So you must never ever think wrong of this. What the Quran Sharif has denounced, what the Quran Sharif has declared a filth, that child is going to be trained to think that this is in order. There's nothing wrong with it. And you must never ever think wrong about it, na'uzubillah. Whereas Sayyidina Lut alayhi salatu wasalam declared to his people who were steeped in these kind of vices, إِنِّي لِعَمَلِكُمْ مِنَ الْقَالِينَ, that I disgust your actions. I disgust your action. That child is going to be taught not to disgust it, to say it's fine, na'uzubillah. Now if he's going to say something is fine, which the Quran Sharif is saying is disgusting, he's going to say, no, it's in order. What Allah Ta'ala has denounced as a complete abomination, something that is totally filth and haram, where's his iman? What thread of iman is going to be left? There's no iman left. If a person calls something Allah Ta'ala has declared haram in the Quran Sharif, the person says, no, it's on, it's fine. There's no thread of iman left. He can perform salah, can perform tahajjud salah his whole life also. He can fast every day of the year. He can make umrah every month. But if he's regarding something Allah Ta'ala has made haram, Allah Ta'ala made interest haram, and he's saying, no, it's fine. Allah Ta'ala made sodomy haram, and he's saying, it's fine. Then his iman is gone. There's no iman left. So this is that mindset that has been created. This is just one aspect out of many. He'll be taught that, don't worry, it's not, only you must be safe, use contraceptives, that's all. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. So it's not just a matter of some pictures in some books. It's far beyond that. Then apart from this, the aspect of the issue that gets taught in from the very early grades, the aspect of Darwinism and the so-called evolution theory, the child is being trained to think, na'uzubillah, that you were born from an ape, that your forefathers came from an ape. This is their belief, that's where they came from. But our belief, we know, understand, and our belief is where the Quran Sharif comes from, that the first being Allah Ta'ala created, human being, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and how Allah Ta'ala created him, all the ayat of the Quran Sharif, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ, the various ayat, there's no time to go into it. Now a person grows up believing otherwise,
So he's negating all these ayat of the Quran Sharif. It's not just a matter of some theory. And in some examinations, 1/3 of the marks are allocated to this in biology exams, in certain grades. 1/3 of the marks are dedicated to Darwinism and evolution. So now he has to pass that. So he has to pass that, he has to study it. He has to digest it. And Allah knows best how much gets left in his heart. I've had experiences with youngsters one-on-one. Apart from many others who have had the experiences, trying to debate the point that no, it makes sense that we came from this Big Bang and this is how man evolved from that ape. He's trying to prove it. And he's somebody that performs salah regularly. He's somebody who has, mashallah, a good beard. He's somebody who probably is a hafiz also, I don't know. But this is what he's trying to prove from his own thinking, which he got from this education system, that no, this is reality, na'uzu billah. Then apart from this, a very, very major fitna, and which is destroying iman, that what appears to be extremely good education and very, that the child will be very highly educated and will earn a lot of distinctions and so on, but private schools which have a Christian ethos, or Christian ethos schools wherever they might be, public or private. Now many of these schools, even that monogram has got a cross on it. The children are attending chapel. They're interacting with children. One father came to one maktab somewhere. That child was taken out of that maktab 2 years prior because so much of extracurricular activities. The child was in a Christian ethos school. Now suddenly the father came crying to some ulama and he says that this child came out. She was only sitting in her room locked up and for a long time this was going on. Now one day she comes out and she says, "Na'uzu billah, I'm no more Muslim, I'm a Christian." And all this time she was locked up reading the Bible in her room, reading Christian literature, which her friends in school were giving her, and which the teachers were giving her. This is just one out of many, many incidents. There's no time to go into the details. How many times this has happened, that the child was completely brainwashed in just a few days, and thinking otherwise. Iman completely gone. So now under the pretext of very good education, under the pretext of, no, this child will gain a lot of distinctions. But what distinction? When the child is going to be laid in the qabr, what distinction? The distinctions of dunya at the price of iman, na'uzu billahi min zalik, is like a person wants to sell everything of whatever good he possesses and take filth in return. What worth is that distinction if it's at the price of iman? Person rather fail in dunya but save his iman, then he's passed. He's passed tremendously. So this is also an extremely dangerous thing that's happening, and because something becomes a trend, so if the money is available, this must happen, but at what price? At the price of iman. Then together with this, the media. What is going on in the media? Many a times parents are saying, well, it's just cartoons. All this is obviously haram. We say, no, it's just cartoons. In one maktab recently, one girl is asking her apa, her muallima, one young girl, grade 3 or 4, and she's asking her muallima, what the question is, when I grow up, can I get married to this girl? As shocking as it is, this girl is asking the question. But now that muallima got a shock, but she wanted to know where this came from. So where it came from, she was watching some so-called Disney movie, a cartoon. And these were the messages that were getting implanted. These were the messages that were getting implanted, that this is all in order. This is not just cartoons. It's mind shaping. It's shaping that mind to think as per the agenda of the enemies of Islam. So now she was watching the so-called cartoons, and now she started thinking already in that manner. And she thought it's a very innocent thing in her mind. So she's asking her muallima in front of the class, that when I grow up, can this happen? Now this is what's taking place, and this is what's eroding the iman. Was causing havoc in our deen, and Allah forbid, the child outwardly might seem everything fine, but the iman is gone. How often this has happened? It only surfaced much later. So these are the realities on the ground. We have to become very conscious of where we're heading, what we're doing. As explained earlier, while the physical security of our children is also important, their material security is also important, but nothing can come anywhere close to their imani security. Death is inevitable. Life is going to go one day. Nobody is going to remain here forever. But when that life goes, all these rest of things will remain behind.
Not one cardboard of that degree which has all embossed nicely on it is going to come in the qabr. Not to say that that doesn't have its use in dunya, but it's not going to come in the qabr. And a person is not going to be questioned in the qabr of what distinctions he had in school. It's going to be questioned about his iman. And if that iman got lost before the person went in the qabr, everything is lost. He lost khasir ad-dunya wal-akhirah. Everything is gone. So that is the greatest concern, our imani security. The imani security of our children. The real solution is a very big solution. That is something we have to get back to the ulama ikram and inquire how to go forward on this. But some immediate steps that we have to take for our protection, for the protection of our iman, our children's iman, some immediate steps. Number one, we have to ensure that every child is attending an afternoon maktab. Every child without fail is attending an afternoon maktab, where there is some effort on his iman. Let's not take this for granted. And wherever this got taken for granted because there's so many extracurricular activities which have eaten up into the madrasa time, and then every other appointment also is in maktab time, every other errand also is in maktab time, as a result of which that maktab becomes like just a by the way thing. But when the child grew up, Allah forbid, what became the end result? Every child must attend maktab, and we must give it due importance, greater importance than everything else in that child's life. The second thing, salah. We understood already from the ayat Ibrahim salam's concern for the salah of his children. Our concern for our own salah, we have to become the correct role models at the salah of our children. From the time the child is 7 years old, to teach him how to perform salah. And when he's 10 years old, he should not miss any salah. Now if we are missing our salah, what are you going to tell the child? That is his security. The security of his iman, the security of his dunya also. To the extent he'll keep his salah alive, Allah Ta'ala will look after him. Then number three, family time. Unfortunately, this too is by and large gone. Quality time with our children. There's sometimes some lightheartedness also, but that is in a way conversing with them in a way to find out what's going on behind the scenes, what's lurking in their minds. Part of this family time would be ta'lim with them, of the fazail kitabs, of other aspects of deen, to bring alive the consciousness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this family time, this is an extremely important thing. Unfortunately, many a times, the conversation with one's children for the whole week will amount to a few minutes. Otherwise, besides some real conversation, is maybe just giving some instructions. Conversation either null, or total a few minutes in a whole week, maybe a whole month. And the fourth thing is dua, more dua and even more dua. We are desperately in need of this dua for ourselves and for our children. One is, Allah forbid, Allah Ta'ala protect us, if somebody's child is on life support. The child is on life support, we understand what that means. Everything is touch and go. What kind of dua that person will make for his child? It won't be just that very, very haphazard dua, that heart is not even there, his mind is somewhere else. It won't be that kind of dua. That dua will come deep down from the heart. Why? Because a child is on life support. Currently we all are almost running on imani support. Meaning it's like touch and go. The iman of our children is like touch and go. It's like on imani support we are surviving. So now that this is the critical situation, that dua must come daily, not once in a while. Not waiting for the 27th night of Ramadan or the 15th of Shaban. Daily, very deep, very earnest dua for ourselves, for the protection of our iman, for the protection of the iman of our children, for the protection of the iman of every mu'min, of every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very deep and very desperate dua. We are desperately in need of this dua for our survival, imani survival, and the survival of the iman of our progenies to come. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.